This is a story of ME, myalgic encephalitis, as experienced by a number of young sufferers and parents. Plus two very interesting contributions from two GPs.
When you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse, and the tears come streaming down your face, when you lose something you can't replace, could it?
It is estimated that up to 12,000 Irish people have myalgic encephalitis, ME. Research suggests 80% of ME cases result from a viral infection, and recent studies have indicated that up to 20% of people with glandular fever go on to develop ME. ME affects the central nervous system and immune system, and it can greatly vary in severity and duration. The core symptoms include excessive fatigue, muscle pain, mental fogginess, and often gastrointestinal problems with non-refreshing sleep. Many other symptoms will also be present, however they will typically be different among different patients. These include fatigue following stressful activities, headaches, chronic sore throat, sleep disorder, and many others. The severity of symptoms often fluctuates just enough to get a taste of the good days, only to crash and become restricted again. Sufferers have to learn their limitations and may have to adapt their lifestyles to their condition. Recovery is a definite possibility for many, especially young people. However, there is no known cure. This condition doesn't just affect the sufferer but their entire family. This is a story of pain and suffering, but with a happy ending for many.
Having ME meant being constantly exhausted with pains in my arms and legs. I had swollen glands and insomnia too. Probably the worst part was the frustration of not knowing what was wrong with me and being told by doctors that it was a virus or depression or something like that. I was depressed with it, but that was because of the 3 years of being ill. It was really debilitating and I felt like I was missing out on so much. I was 11 when I first got sick and I wasn't diagnosed with ME until I was 13. I went to so many doctors, but none of them could tell me what was wrong with me. I lost a lot of confidence in myself and I felt like it was all in my head because that was what I was being told by the doctors. I hadn't even heard of ME at that stage. The biggest relief was actually being told that you have ME and putting a name on my condition, and I felt like I wasn't the only person in the world suffering with it.
The level of frustration experienced as a result of living with ME at times can be as devastating as the muscle pain or utter exhaustion. A sufferer and her mother explain this further.
I kind of lost confidence in myself because nobody could say what it was. I went to loads of specialists. I went to herbologists and had acupuncture, and went to neurosurgeon and immunologist, and eventually a rheumatologist diagnosed me. There was no treatment available. I had cramps in my legs the whole time. Got depression afterwards. I'm still in the depression. Me and my brother are very close, and since I got sick, we're not. We hardly talk, and that's hard. And then Dad left, and we grew further apart. With that, he just couldn't handle it, and that was very hard. Because you see, like my cousins and that, they get on very well with their siblings, and it's hard to watch that when you're not so close.
At the time, it was very hard, you know, to see all that, you know, and to go through all that, to watch your child suffer, and basically. There's nothing you can do to help her, to trek along to all these doctors and tell you that there's nothing wrong with her. But still, she's lying in bed, crying in pain, sleeping all the time. She was a normal 14, 15-year-old, loved to play sport. She was big into football and she was outgoing, had loads of friends. But when she got sick, all the friends went into the woodwork, shall we say, because they didn't understand what she was going through, which is natural for 14, 15-year-olds. She wasn't going out. She couldn't go out. And at that age, the boyfriends and going to discos and things like that, and she couldn't go to any of those because she was too ill. So they lost interest. She started off with a virus when she was 15. The ME developed from that. Looking back on it, we can now see that. After she got this virus, she just got ear infection after ear infection, strep throat, swollen glands. She was at the doctor constantly. It wasn't a week went by that she wasn't at the doctor. She was on antibiotic after antibiotic, because every time we went down, she was sick enough to have an antibiotic, so she had to have it. I used to say to him, you know, not another one, and he'd say, well, it's either that or watch her get worse and then probably have to go to hospital or whatever. So we had no choice. There was a barrage of doctors and consultants and all the rest of it that we went to, and reflexologists and Reiki healers, and we literally tried everything and nothing seemed to help her. So eventually I did get her into the Beaumont Clinic, and she was on a clatter of medication. They tried lots and lots of medication for, oh, she was there for about a year and a half, until eventually they came up with one particular drug that did help. But it was ongoing the whole time. Always sick. There was always something wrong with her, you know, for so long. So it was very difficult, because I was here all the time, you know, with her. I wasn't working. And it was very difficult to watch her in pain so much and not being able to do anything. That was very difficult. The consultants that we went to, they all said there was nothing wrong with her. And yet she was screaming in pain. Oh, I knew there was something wrong. And, you know, we just kept going until we eventually got the diagnosis of ME.
ME has only been recognised by doctors in recent years, after originally being dismissed as the uppie flu. A young doctor with a special interest in the study of ME gives us a medical perspective.
Myalgic encephalomyelitis, a syndrome of multiple symptoms defined by the presence of chronic fatigue syndrome with or without a post-viral basis, with potentially some organic symptoms as well, and sometimes associated with low mood, low energy, low appetite. Myalgia, pains, muscle ache, so chronic fatigue generally is the one that people complain of typically first off. So inability to get up in the morning, inability to do their usual daily activities, needing to power map for hours sometimes during the day, sometimes aches and pains with it. Then the whole low mood bit comes into it too. So is it low mood associated with the fact that people can't do what they normally do, or is there something else going on as well? So sometimes it's difficult to know exactly what the symptoms. So it's generally, the way I would manage it is it's a diagnosis of exclusion. So you kind of exclude everything else first. If you tick all the boxes right, and things aren't, I suppose, if somebody comes in and they're particularly tired, and you're not just going to tell them they've got ME, you're going to make sure they're not anemic, that their B12 levels are okay, they're not hypothyroid, they don't have a massively low blood pressure, not diabetic. So you outrule the obvious. So it is essentially a diagnosis of exclusion a lot of the time. I wouldn't say I'm seeing much more of them. I'd say more people are coming in saying they might have it than did in the 80s, potentially. Well, sometimes people won't accept that there can be something that is very difficult to manage. So people may not accept the diagnosis. So it's kind of a difficult thing to bring up. Plus, if you do bring it up, you want to be 100% sure there's nothing else going on. So people are kind of reluctant to make the diagnosis, because they're, I suppose, a fear of litigation might be one thing. You go along and tell someone that they've got ME just like that, and they come back to you in 6 weeks' time with big, huge glands and lymphoma, and we've just wasted 6 months of chemo time. They're not going to be terribly happy with you. It's because it is a very vague. I mean, it can present in so many different ways, but I suppose that's the reason. And its symptoms correlate and correspond massively with hundreds of other things that you'd see in a very common day to day, well, week to week, and month to month basis. I suppose I recommend that they read about it themselves first. So web pages, support groups. I tell people to work within themselves, to be honest. If there's something else going on as well, like if there is a mood issue, I'll treat a depression as well, even if it's a reactive thing, because I know if it was me, I'd want whatever you could possibly throw at me. A lot of the time nothing does any good. Most of the time nothing does any good, other than what I tell people is if they feel tired, rest. If they push themselves too hard, they'll get worse. I've never seen somebody not recover. But my dealings would have been with maybe a dozen people. And, I mean, they had to make lifestyle changes, definitely. They're not going to be Olympic swimmers in a couple of weeks' time type of thing. The way I look at it is, and it's not probably the way you're meant to look at it, because everyone has their own theories on what it is and isn't. But in my opinion, a lot of the time, certainly the people I'd see, it's their body's way of telling them to slow down. For some people, I mean, the spectrum is massive. You have people who are massively active, who have won awards, who are, you know, athletes, and suddenly they can't walk up the stairs because they're just too tired. And they know that if they walk upstairs, they're not going to be able to walk downstairs because they'll be wrecked. Some of them, the people that were terribly fit and healthy and well before it happened, massively fit, tend to be the ones that were the slowest to improve. But perhaps they were overdoing it in the first place. It definitely is a way of your body telling you, look, I can't take any more of this, so take it easy. So you have to really work within yourself. So you listen to your body. If your body tells you that you're going too hard at it, you definitely don't go as hard at it. It's small steps. But anyone I've seen has got back to living a normal, working a normal life again.
ME has a particularly negative impact on children and youth. Because of the cognitive difficulties, muscle weakness and exhaustion, obtaining their education may become a difficult task, requiring home tutoring in many instances. There is no one correct way to handle having a chronic illness, and the following mother and daughter have learned to deal with it in their own way.
She had been ill for a number of months with various things like tonsillitis, a lung infection, really severe things, and she was on really strong antibiotics. And then all of a sudden she just couldn't get up off the chair. She couldn't walk to the toilet. She was not able to eat. She couldn't sleep. She was really tired, but she couldn't sleep. So it was a long process, very long process. We went to the doctor, and the doctors were like, yeah, well, you know, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It just seemed to take forever for somebody to say, this is what it is. For them to actually agree with me that my daughter had changed from this bubbly, lively, vivacious creature into something that had disintegrated before my eyes. It was very frightening as a parent to watch, because obviously the whole thing of, you know, cancer or, you know, something really bad went through my head. And her colour changed as well. She went very grey looking. We went to the doctor and she sent us on to the specialist, and the specialist was very dismissive of it. Agreed, yes, it possibly was. Wanted her to go to see a psychiatrist. And so I said, fine, we'll go. I wasn't too enthusiastic about it. We went, and he told us that what they usually do with people that are showing these signs is to put them on Prozac. And as soon as I heard Prozac, I ran a million miles. Nobody was going to put my daughter on Prozac. And I just decided at that stage, that's it, forget it, I'm going alternative. I am listening to my daughter and I'm listening to me. And I wasn't going to put her on anything that the cure could have been worse than the actual illness. I tried everything. I mean, we went to Faith Healers. We went to alternative medicine. We did absolutely everything. And in the end, I just sort of started being more sensible about her. You know, they tell us she needs exercise because endorphins is what's missing in the body when you go through this. So exercise, the happy hormone, they used to call it. We tried the exercise. She'd get as far as the gate and collapse. We were told send her to school. Sent her to school. She fainted on the stairs. And it was like, she's going to faint on the stairs. She could fall down, crack her head. Don't think so. I want my daughter in one piece. Took her home. Gave her work to do at home whenever she could, so that there wasn't a vicious cycle of she was missing school and the stress of not being able to catch up. It was a constant battle with, you know, trying to keep up even when she was in school. So this was adding to the stress, which was making the symptoms worse. And then it's, how do I get her out of the cycle? So I got her homework to do at home and I helped her. She was in junior search year. We did most of the subjects at home. If I felt she needed maybe to go in for a class or two, then I sent her in. The school were great. They were great. Then for her junior cert, the actual exams, I decided which ones she was going to sit. And she didn't sit the whole 10, 12, whatever they do. She sat 6. And I made sure there was like one-on-one day, she had a break of a day. You know, so I just picked out what ones, and also what ones she liked, what subjects she liked. And she did really well. She got honours in all of them. So like, that was a huge achievement. So she was able to do it. And that, I think, gave her a lift to see that she could do it. Then she went into fifth year. And again, stress pulled her down. She got really, really tired. She couldn't go to school. So again, work at home. We did English on tape. We had great teachers. They gave us notes and stuff like that, and she was able to do most of it at home. And I would drive her to school. She would sit through maybe one class a day, and then I'd take her home. I wasn't going down the route that everybody was telling me to go down, but I lost faith in the doctors because they weren't there for us, and I had to go with my own gut feeling. The other thing that happens is her blood pressure drops when she's tired, and I can see it. I think that's where parents have to be really aware of the changes in the child. And as soon as I see that, it's immediately plated broccoli. And you know, she was sick of it, but she'd get her plate of broccoli and she'd eat it, and gradually she'd start, her the blood pressure would start going up. I wasn't getting her any medication for it. Broccoli and all greens and that are natural for building the blood pressure back up. So that's what I did. I know her. I know what she was like, and I know they were wrong. And that's what I did with her. And she got through her leading cert, and she sat through it, and she did well. Now she's working, and she's actually moved out. And it's great. I meant to be sad, but I'm not. And she's moving on with her life, and that's the way it's meant to be. She gets bouts, but she can cope with them. The one thing I would say is, as she's turning into an adult, or she is an adult, is she has to be more aware of her body telling her the signs. And, you know, they're warning her before it actually starts. She gets warning bells, and she needs to go, okay, this is what I've got to do. I've got to take it easy today. I've got to take it easy tomorrow. Okay, I might have to take it easy for a week, but isn't that better than being in bed for 2 weeks? And also, eat properly, not rubbish. So that's basically what I did with her. I just dug my heels in and became stubborn. And it just seemed to work for her. I don't know about anybody else. We haven't been able to talk to anybody else with the same thing. After I found out it wasn't cancer, and it wasn't like a life-threatening illness, I was okay. I just knew I had to do what I had to do and just get on with it.
Been exhausted, and maybe that's an understatement. Not really knowing like what to do, or it's almost like you're blacking out all the time and you can't really get beyond today, and it can be really depressing and just horrible. And it was like everybody has a big shield around them. It's like every time I get really tired or I yawn a lot or you have to go on medication, a bit of your shield drops down. And when the shield drops down, you start to feel a bit weaker because the shield has some of your powers and it takes away your powers. So you have to rest a lot and lie down. And for starters, I hate trying to explain it to anybody. I don't like people knowing that I'm sick, but there comes a time when they have to know that you're not just cancelling all the time because you don't want to see them, like you actually physically can't get out. Well, I do say I have ME, but they're like, I don't get it. So I just say that I have a chronic fatigue and immune deficit syndrome. And from there, I can kind of nearly just explain that definition better. Throughout the year, I can't go out a lot. Like, even sometimes if I go out for dinner, like, even just the thought of having to, God, I have to go and have a shower and wash my hair and then dry it and possibly straighten it and then makeup and clothes, and it's actually exhausting just thinking about, like, physically have to do all of this and then go out and then smile or whatever, and you come home and you're just like, I can't move. I lost a lot of friends. There's always the fear of having to go through losing more again and again. I think that was the worst, just losing out on little things. Like, I see my younger sister do now. I didn't do half the things that she did, but she just does it and that's it. There's no stopping her, and it's great. Even people in school would be saying that they got into so much trouble because they snuck out of the house, or, you know, stayed out later than they should have, or got caught doing whatever. I would have loved just for my mom to turn around and say, look, you're so grounded and you're never leaving the house. Even simple things like that, that was pretty hard. I'd just get really weepy and I'd have an argument with them over the most silliest thing, but I'm not actually getting upset over the argument that we're having. I'm getting upset because I'm just so tired and I'm just so sick of it, but I'm just trying to, it's just like you're trying to release it. And probably September, October, I'd get bad and I'd end up getting tonsillitis or a lung infection or a vomiting bug or something. And then basically I know that that's it for a while. I just have to chill out and sit on the couch and sleep for the majority of the day. And so I just watch Friends. One doctor told me that she's got no medicine to give me. The best medicine she can do is just tell me to watch Friends over and over and just laugh. You just have to live with it.
A GP with many years professional experience gives us his learned opinion of ME.
ME, I feel, is a term that's loosely interchangeable with chronic fatigue syndrome or a-fatigue syndrome, and it's really characterised clinically by an unnatural tiredness, fatigue. People find that they can try and go to work and by 11 o'clock in the day they're worn out. Chronic fatigue would be well recognised to follow on glandular fever. There are other conditions where people would be experiencing fatigue which would not be infection related, such as vitamin B12 deficiency or perhaps celiac disease. Well, it's largely a process of exclusion. It's commonly found after infections, be it viral infections, such as ordinary respiratory ones. I've seen it coming on after viral type gastroenteritis. Then there are other things that can mimic it. People will be having, as I said, underactive thyroid, vitamin B12 deficiency, anemia, celiac disease. Because the nebulous nature of diagnosis for ME or fatigue syndrome, you have to outrule organic causes. There's no point telling the person they're depressed until you've outruled everything else. And commonly you'll get people with an overlay of depression with ME, probably because they have got ME or fatigue syndrome. The first thing I would do would be exclude treatable causes or treatable conditions which mimic ME, which are all amenable to treatment. And while they're uncommon and sporadic, if you treat an underlying cause, you will frequently get a response, a favourable response. Unfortunately, there are a large number of situations where you just don't find an underlying cause and you're left with a person who is dreadfully fatigued. And a lot of things have been tried, but there is no definitive diagnostic test and there is no definitive one treatment available that I know of. Now, treatment, of course, there's drug treatment and there is management. Now, the drug treatment, in my experience, has been very disappointing and frustrating. But management-wise, there are a couple of general principles. One is a person who's fatigued should not... They'll have good days and bad days, and when they've got a good day, they should not do too much. They should not wear themselves out. They should not exhaust themselves. They should remain within the limits of their capacity. Some people used to recommend having short, sharp bursts of activity, such as a short sprint, maybe 20 yards, 30 yards, rather than walking half a mile and exhausting themselves, or taking some form of activity that got them near up to almost perspiring and then stop. But sustained activity that wears you out and tears you out seems to be detrimental. They also appear to come out of nowhere for high achievers and people who push themselves very, very hard. Don't ask me why. Is chronic fatigue syndrome real? Unfortunately, it's my opinion that it's very, very real and very, very frustrating and difficult to manage. And a lot of people get depressed because they have it. Then they might be labelled as being depressed people, but they might be depressed, but treating the depression doesn't cure their fatigue. General recognition that ME is a real illness, and even the insurance companies now will ask you occasionally, is there any question of a person having chronic fatigue syndrome? So that if the insurance companies are recognising it and the medical profession beginning to recognise it, yes, it's real. Where do we go? Oh, I think further research is needed, and the focus seems to be for treatment or cure or drug management seems to be around some form of stimulation of the immune system.
parents whose children have experienced ME and recovered tell us what they went through and how they dealt with living with a chronic illness.
They were watching this girl who was a very lively girl up to this, who was full of life, who did sports, who went here and there, and all of a sudden was practically unable to go out of the house. So all the rest of the family were kind of looking at this girl and suddenly saying, what's wrong with her? Is she putting it on, or is it real, or what is it? But when they realised that she genuinely was ill, they were very supportive.
Before, it was very active, very sporty. After it, it was total change around extreme tiredness. You could see it in his face. You could see it rings under his eyes. He had difficulty getting out of bed. You'd know on a Monday morning that he wasn't going to go to school. It was impossible for him. As it went on, and he wasn't improving, in fact, he was getting worse, he got depressed. In fact, we brought him to a psychiatrist because we were getting advice that perhaps, you know, the old story that ME, not a real illness, the yuppie flu and all in the mind, that type of thing. We said perhaps that it was coming from the depression. So we brought him to a psychiatrist. But I went along to one of the sessions and I could see it just wasn't right. In the waiting rooms, there was a dysfunctional family, and I just knew my own child. This wasn't the way it was. The depression was coming from his ME, not the other way around. He had about 3 years where he was pretty bad, and then it seemed to burn itself out. 3-4 years, but it has come back, but nothing like it was. He's pretty good. He's a full-time student, and he has to take a certain amount of rest. I think he knows his own body, but he has always tended to drive himself too far. But I would think it's a huge improvement on what it used to be. One other thing I felt, and I might be wrong on this, but I always got the idea that my son had glandular fever when he was young, and it was almost this was like it hadn't left the system. And I have this idea that in some way it's connected. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's the feeling I have.
Really go with what you're feeling. You know your daughter, you know your son. Listen to what your heart is telling you. If, you know, this is different, this is unusual, then, you know, make sure, obviously, that it's not something major. You do rule out. I mean, we still got scans done last year for her, just to make sure. Because you can't always put it down to ME either. You know, if something is, there might be something there.
Just don't give up hope. Just believe in yourself. Don't listen to the doctors that say it's all in your head, because it's not.
Listen to their symptoms. Don't let a doctor tell you it could be this, it could be that, or it's all in her head. Because in my experience, my daughter was really very sick and we didn't realise it. And we were taking a certain amount of advice from doctors, but it was the wrong advice.
ME is manageable, and it's sometimes easier and sometimes harder to cope with, but you can cope with it and you can get through it and you can get better.
Well, I'd certainly tell them to trust their own instincts. They know their own child best. The professionals don't. And I've found to my cost that they have preconceived ideas that ME doesn't exist, or it's not a real physical illness. I found that it is a real physical illness. You can see it in the person, and it has to be treated like that. It takes time to burn out of the system.
I have a full-time job, which I love, and I moved out about 2 months ago now, so, and that was the best thing ever. I'm not going to wait around for somebody to come and help me, because that's just never going to happen. You have to help yourself before anybody can help you, so get up and do it yourself. So I did, and haven't fainted yet. Haven't collapsed yet. But no, it's good.
Keep pursuing it until you find somebody who's going to listen to you and somebody who's going to be of help to you.
Don't give up. Go with your gut instinct. Don't let the medical profession tell you that there's nothing wrong when you know yourself and you see that your child is sick. Take heed of what they're saying as well. Try and have patience. be there for them, be as understanding as you can. Just don't let people fob you off. Stand up for your child. You know yourself that there's something wrong. Stick with it and keep going until you get some answers.
When you're that sick, I suppose you think that you're never going to be able to do anything. And to think, well, I'm not going to be able to do this, and I'm never going to be able to do this, and I'm never going to be the same as anybody else. And, like, you have to wake up and realise, yeah, like, sod it, you're not going to be like everybody else. But, you know, this isn't a thing that's going to kill you. You know, you don't have cancer, and it's not going to eat you from the inside. Yes, you are sick, and it is terrible, but you're not half as bad as some other people. You don't have as bad a life as other people do, and just have to get on with it.
You just have to go with your feeling and be strong. You know, doctors are not God. They make mistakes too. And some of them are great. And we have a great GP, and he will recognise it for what it is and will accept it, and he is great. But they're not magicians. They can't make it better. You've got to. You're the one at home doing it all. So just go with it and be strong. Be really strong.
I think I